Hey, welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Distress Signal by Laserhawk. We opened the entire hour with it, and it's so good. It's like the sound of like the neo future, like the near.
It's just synth.
It is synth,
but
I love
it. The future.
I love it.
For those
that don't know, this is Experience Points. This is a show where we drop some knowledge on you every Wednesday night from 9 to 10
p.m. Don't worry,
it
doesn't hurt.
Bear and I are here. It might hurt. You might not know something
hurt.
So much it hurts.
It hurts you not to know it.
It pains you to not know it.
It may hurt that you didn't know.
We talk about comics. We talk about video games. We talk about, you know, geek news and movies and reviews and all that stuff. And if you miss it on the show, if you miss a show, or if you have missed a show, if this is your first time, hey, welcome to the club.
Hey,
it's super
good to
exclusive.
See you.
You know what? You don't have to pay yet.
Wait, are you here with Jim?
Are you here with Jim?
Dude, awesome.
We've known Jim a long time.
Yeah.
If you missed any of our previous stuff, our news reviews, our game giveaways, our previously recorded shows, and any of our blog stuff, you can catch that online on our website. Bear, what is the website?
You can head over to exppoints.com if you remember to double tap the P.
We also have social media if you would like to check that out. It's at exppoints.com/social. You can see the Facebook, the Twitter, the Google+, the YouTubes, the Steam communities, and we even have PayPal and Patreon. So if you wanted to give us money in some way, donations or otherwise, you can do that. But you can also sync us up to your devices. If you wanted to have an Android device or an iTunes or Apple device, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, and we are directly streamable from online, so you can check all of that out. We're going to cut to two songs. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what we did last week. This is Airbrush, The Rack, mixed by Anna Monoguchi, and then The Proto Men with Breaking Out. We'll catch you after the break on 90.9 FM.
KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm still Red Bear.
You just heard Breaking Out by The Proto Men before that. Airbrush, The Rack, mix by Anna Monoguchi. Bear, what did you do this past week?
I watched movies again. That's so unlike me, isn't
it? What kind of movies did you watch?
This time, I watched Star Wars again, The Force Awakens.
Very cool.
Just came out this past weekend. But when I put it in, we discovered there is multiple play modes. One of them being play with descriptive audio.
Okay, so descriptive audio is like alien languages or like translations
or
what?
Well, I assumed it would be like commentary or something.
Like direct, okay.
Okay, so then it starts playing and the LucasArts symbol comes up and a voice comes on explaining what this LucasArts symbol looks like. And then how the shape of the Star Wars text and the fact that it's scrolling into the distance.
Oh, so this is like for blind people.
I think blind people are the target audience. But so after just dying laughing through the entire intro, we continued. And turns out descriptive audio, it's like watching a movie mixed with an audiobook.
Okay.
It's actually really cool.
Okay, so hold on. You didn't feel that it kind of got in the way?
I was afraid it was going to, but, I mean, the very beginning when it starts talking about the shiny LucasArts logo,
right.
You're like, what?
It's a little
ridiculous. Completely jarred me. But then it just kind of fades in, and the voice is very well done. The adjectives and descriptions are done very well, and he talks during... quiet time in the movie, so where there's no audio anyway, and it works out very well.
Luke, breathe. I am your father. And Luke Skywalker looks reasonably stunned, almost in disbelief. No, that's impossible.
Although the guy totally
he is very upset.
The guy totally has a thing for Han Solo.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
I know, right?
Don't give anything away. But who doesn't?
But okay.
So what else? You watch the movies.
Yeah, I watched the movies.
You discovered that if you had to be blind, it's not so bad.
For movies.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I know. I didn't either. Like it was like on the title screen. That's why I'm like, I have to click it.
Okay.
It's a new button. I have to click it.
All right.
So that happened, and I went back to playing Soul Silver Pokemon.
Yeah.
I was stuck. I forgot the name in this forest. Okay, so I thought I broke the game, right? Because I was going. I go to this forest. This guy's like, hey, get these Farfetch'd or whatever. And I'm like, cool. So I did it. I run back to him. Then another guy walks over. He's like, hey, thanks, bro. And here's HMO1, which is cut. And then I couldn't get out of the forest because he blocked the path. So I spent the next two literal days stuck in this little box, basically.
Wow.
Before I was showing one of my friends. Turns out there's an extra block
that you just
behind
see.
A tree that you couldn't see. So I stepped down once and went over. I could have gotten out.
Very cool.
So that was depressing.
2 days wasted.
Two days of screaming at my 3DS. So being a nerd sometimes can be very frustrating.
Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, and that was pretty much that's been my week.
Oh, wow.
Wrapped up.
You had a light week.
Had a light week, yeah. Light week. Well, you know, I'm still working on the whole move thing and all that.
I have a heavy week. Yeah. I've had a heavy week. I did a ton this past week.
Wow. And, I did not.
So I started playing Diablo 3 again. I actually beat the game, the Act 4. So that's where you play through the original release. And then I worked into Reign of Souls or Soul something, Shadowmonger, whatever the expansion
was.
Thing. So I'm playing that. Last week we talked about PS4 Remote Play being released.
Right.
And I hadn't tried it. I tried it. I played, I think, a Strike and something else on Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible. It was really, really bad.
Oh, no.
Because my PS4 was on wireless, but my computer was on wired. Even though it was inside my own network. Apparently, that's like a really big deal that both things are on wired.
Are on wireless in?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I guess maybe
throughput.
I think maybe the latency shouldn't be bad, especially internal, but I don't know. So whenever I connected it via a hardline, it totally improved it. It was playable. I was dying.
So
I think
weird.
I died like 30 times on the Vision of Crota or whatever at the end of one of the strikes. And now I went through, I think, 4 or 5 strikes,
mm-hmm.
got a ton of Vanguard rep or whatever, and everything was fine. So it was literally just plugging a cable in and saying, turn wireless off, use wired. But it's very, very playable, internal. I was playing on my 27-inch monitor with, you know, a DualShock 4 plugged into my computer on my on the PS4 in another room while my wife was watching a TV show on the projector. So it was totally doable. Latency was noticeable, but like over time I just dealt with it. It didn't even seem like it was there
anymore. So maybe not good for Twitch gaming yet.
Maybe not good for Twitch gaming, but for games where you can kind of put some space between you and the bad guys or whatever, then yeah, it wouldn't be that bad. I sold my phone. I remember I was telling you last week.
Because I couldn't use it.
Went to Swappa. SWAPPA. I sold it for like $220.
Nice.
Which is really, really great. Shipped it off. It was very, very easy. And I got my Samsung Galaxy Note S. And I got another SUP case.
You got another case.
And really, really like this phone. I am loving the stylus that comes with it. And I didn't think I would, but I totally love the stylus.
Dude, I love styluses from like Nintendo. Has to be spoiled on them.
Oh yeah, no. The stylus in here is really great, really, really great, and it's not it doesn't have a lot of, like, when you push down harder, it doesn't detect that. It's not pressure sensitive, but
yeah.
It's got really good pin tips for and, like, the software pin tips that sort of let you fake it, which is kind of nice. The nice thing that this has that I've gotten a charger for is the wireless charging.
And that works through the case?
Yeah, it works through the case. And
that's cool.
I have one at my desk at work. It's like a stand. So I just drop it in. It pretty much it has 3 coils. It's a Senio, I think. And I can just lay it down or stand it up or whatever. And it's never like, you know, we're recording now. It's at 95%. And it's, you know,
compared to my 31%.
Right. So I'm going to bring the Nexus 7 up tomorrow and see if it'll charge it with that. But I don't even care. This has a advanced rapid charge or whatever. So it can charge, I think, like 40% in 30 minutes or 50% in 30 minutes or something.
Nice.
I don't even care about that because if I have it charging all the time at work, you know, always at 100% more or less,
yeah.
And then I go home, I'll probably just throw it on the wireless charger at home too, get like a little puck or something. If it works, you know, if it charges at night, I don't need it to be, I don't need to be super fast or whatever. But yeah, so I sold that. I burned through all of the backlogged episodes. We had like 15 or 16 weeks of backlogged episodes. And
give Matt
it,
around.
It was, oh man, just
good
pat
job.
On the back for
there
me. It was really, really tough. And then I watched a documentary. It was King of Kong. It was a 2007 documentary about Billy Mitchell and Steve Wiebe, who Steve Wiebe in 2007 beat. Didn't necessarily beat Billy Mitchell, but he proposed. He was new to the Donkey Kong classic 1982 high score that Billy Mitchell made. It was like something like 874,000 points on Donkey Kong. No one thought that could be higher. Well, Steve Wiebe, he was going through a low spot in his life and needed something to spend a lot of time on. He got like a million points. He got a million points on
wow.
this, and he filmed it, and he sent the film in, and they wouldn't accept the film. They said that, you know, there was too much doctrine. There was some shady stuff going on,
because
I don't particularly care for Billy Mitchell, though at the same time, King of Kong, there's like propaganda in this that makes you dislike Billy Mitchell, whether or not Billy Mitchell's really like that, or they just portrayed him like that. He was actually in it. He himself, and he didn't do a very good job to sell himself. He seems kind of like a jerk. But anyway, I watched that documentary, and it's such a good documentary. I'd recommend everybody go and watch King of Kong if you can. It's almost 10 years old, yeah. But and since then, you know, like the title has been back and forth in several people's hands for the number one King of Kong player or Donkey Kong player. But it was very, very good.
Nice. And then that's interesting.
Probably most eventful, and it's not even something I did. It's something I thought about, and then it's something I
did. You sat around thinking.
It's something I did based on some really important thing that's about to happen in my life. I always talk about my slow internet, like really slow 6 megabit internet through AT&T. AT&T came and put a hanger on my door saying that I'm getting fiber gigapower gigabit internet in my neighborhood.
Nice.
You know, today all the way to like sometimes next week, they're going to be installing it. That doesn't mean it'll be ready in a week. That just means they're installing it. And eventually, once they hook up all their infrastructure, that I will have the ability, the chance to get gigabit speeds on fiber, direct fiber backbone, using UVerse with gigapower.
Right.
Now, a little bit of investigation, I found that this is part of AT&T's acquisition of DirecTV.
Okay.
And this is a promise to put gigapower in 38 big cities all across the U.S. to compete with Google Fiber.
You don't live in a big city.
I don't live in a big city, but they're expanding their infrastructure. The trick here apparently was AT&T didn't have to put it in places like Houston or Seattle or wherever, any, you know, places, big places. Mm-hmm. They can choose where to put it because they have to affect the number of customers. So they can choose to put it in brand new places that is easier to get to. And they could put it in places that that are pre-established but maybe don't have very fast internet like this place.
Yeah.
You know, where I live, which is just
DSL. The middle of nowhere.
But then I start to look into it, and it's like $70 for maybe gigabit power.
Dang.
Which I was thinking.
That's high.
I was thinking about it. Well, you think it is. I pay $55 for 6 meg. So, you know, $15 more, and I go from 6 to 1,000 megs.
Yeah,
let's just round up, round down 1,000 megs. You know, I don't even know how to do that math. That math is too complex for me. But I know that I'm getting a good deal. Except there are some fine details that you have to read. One of the fine details is they call it snoopvertising. Not them, like this is the concept of snoopvertising, which is, they will perform deep packet analysis on every piece of traffic. They're not vocal about it, but they don't hide it. They will do deep packet analysis on everything that you look at, on everything that you look up, of all your traffic.
Someone's eyes are getting burned.
So that they can target ads for you, to you, in email, online, and in the regular mail. They say they will never sell your information. They want to use it to advertise things like DirecTV and whatever. All right. Oh, also, there's a cap. There's a 1 terabyte a month cap.
Okay.
Unless you go ahead and bundle it with your DirecTV subscription that you need to get, which isn't that big of a deal.
I hate
that. Isn't
telecom.
That big of a deal? Or $30 extra. So you can pay $30 extra to turn off the snoopvertising. You can pay $30 extra on top of that to turn off the data cap. So for $60 extra on top of your $70, you can get $130 a month bill for gigabit.
That's so much
network.
Money.
But it is a lot of money. Well, two things. One. If you have gigabit, I can't consume the internet that fast. I don't need my Steam games installed because that's the biggest things you're going to download, right? You're going to download, you know, Just Cause 3. You're going to download really big games.
I like a 20 meg fiber line is amazing.
Right. So
because I was paying $20 for a 20 meg up and down.
I am totally okay with paying for 20 meg, 60 meg. You know, I just want better upload, and I'd like to be able to get on and stream 1080p video and not have it buffer for forever. So I'm okay with getting 300 meg down, a 300 meg plan, and then maybe pay $30 to get the cap. Or if it's only $50 more a month to get DirecTV, screw it. I'll get DirecTV. Why not? I could watch NFL Sunday. I could do, even though I don't like sports.
Justification.
I could sports with the best of them. You know, I could
even
do all
I
that
don't
stuff.
Like sports, I could.
Even though I could. But the one thing I cannot condone is you looking at my traffic.
Especially the packets individually.
It's not about doing anything illegal here. It's about that is my privacy.
Yeah.
It is my 100% my privacy. It's my prerogative. I'm paying you for a service, and that doesn't mean – that's like saying, you know, you're gonna look at the type of hamburgers I buy at a restaurant so you can better, like, advertise your new burgers to me. No.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need you to keep track of everything that I'm doing, of every, you know, nitpicky thing that I am doing. I look at some dumb things, okay? it's not I'm embarrassed of anything. It's I look at some dumb things.
I'm there with you, especially at 2 a.m. after a few rounds.
Right. I don't want to have any spam anywhere. I don't want any
spam. I don't want spam. I would love for like us to just eradicate spam somehow.
Well, and then there's the other side of things. Like, if I ever run for political office, I don't want some stupid thing that I looked at whenever I was in college.
I can't run for political office.
You know? So all of that being said, I bought a year subscription to a VPN. I use private internet access now. And I can have it up on 5 devices. I actually have it. It's on my phone right now. It's on
on
my wireless phone. I am apparently I'm connected to U.S. Silicon Valley, but I can be in Romania in a click of a button or in a tap of a thing. And effectively, what that does is it anonymizes my traffic. It was $40 for 1 year.
That's not bad.
Which is, you know, totally great. And even that, there's a huge speed hit. You know,
I'm
like,
say, how
like,
bad is
here's,
it?
Here's the thing. You're not going to download, like, off of torrents or whatever. You're not going to download with this full 300 meg or 1 gigabit or whatever speed, because the requisite server has to have that speed, and then you're competing with everybody else on there. But it's right. great for internet browsing, and it's great for keeping yourself hidden from the man, from whatever they're going to, you know, scrutinize and look at your packets for. So I don't want to get that. You know what? Look at my encrypted packets. You can break AES 256. Go right ahead, AT&T. Mm-hmm. Ball's in your court. So,
wow, the call out.
The call out. Mic dropped. That was a pin, but whatever.
Wow.
If I drop the mic, these mics are expensive.
These are really expensive. Do not drop the mic.
We are going to, this is a really long set. We're going to cut two songs or three songs. This is followed by Incubus, Kaboom, by FI Dragons, and the Chiptune Legacy by Big Giant Circles. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this exclusively on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points, I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was the Chiptune Legacy by Big Giant Circles. Before that, Kaboom by iFi Dragons. We opened it all up with Follow by Incubus off of, I think, Halo 2 soundtrack. Which
you're
is really
welcome.
Cool. Haven't got an Xbox One yet, but I want to play.
I haven't either, but
I want to replay
I'm kind of
Halo
a weird
2.
Place.
That's what I want to play.
So I can't really right now.
We're running out of time, so let's get through some news.
Yeah, apparently.
Let's get through some news. I talked about AT&T for a little too long.
I think any time for AT&T is too long.
Destiny had an update, and it's got swords, which is really cool. It's a free update for Destiny. Division also had an update, so if you played Division lately, then you'll probably play that. If you haven't gotten the Division yet and you have Destiny, you'll probably play Destiny tonight. You want to do that. They raised the level cap to 335, and they changed some stuff in the Prison of Elders to have challenges and a few other things. New tweaks, new additions, little patches here and there, and of course, Big Giant Sword. Microtransactions, though. There's tons of little social...
I don't even get me started on my
it's not
feelings
bad.
On that.
It's not bad. They just want you to pay for something that you shouldn't necessarily pay for. But you can totally bypass all of that if you just give them money. They won't bother you anymore. So, a while back, we were talking about the Ark Survival Evolved Early Access.
Really fun dinosaur game.
Yep, really fun. You're almost a naked guy. And,
yeah, almost.
Do they have naked women in it yet? Like,
it really
sounded like such a weird question. Now
that Matt, why does it matter? I'm my gaming PC is like shot right now,
right.
So I'm like in a weird place. So yeah.
I don't think they've updated it. I think you're still just a really big, muscular man. but these modders have taken Ark Survival Evolved, which is normally like in the Stone Age with some alien architecture and dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, that's the big
you know,
sell.
But you can metal up
keep
and
underselling
get some,
the dinosaurs.
Right, there's a lot of dinosaurs.
Just dinosaurs.
A lot of dinosaurs. You chop
think
down
about
a lot of trees.
Dinosaurs.
You hit a lot of rocks and explode. It's my favorite part. They've taken it and they've created a conversion mod called Ark Moon Survival. That takes it and shifts it to a big, lonely moon base.
Now, I was excited about this until you said there's no dinosaurs in space.
Right. So what it says, this is what the modders say it is. This is a quote. The Astronomia Space Traveling Company just discovered what appears to be the dinosaur bones on the surface of the moon. In the samples back to Earth after the Apollo 16 mission, some bones seem to be dinosaur bones dating from prehistoric times. After the strange discovery, you were sent to the moon to find out more about these dinosaur bones and make discoveries that could change the humanity history.
history of humanity.
Maybe English isn't their first language, but Moon's certainly their first language. Take the role of a rookie space traveler of the Astronomia Company. You start on the moon in your space base, and your mission is to stay alive to learn about the dinosaur bones. You will be able to search ores and resources to craft tools, weapons, and other equipments that will help you to survive on this hostile moon.
What do you
moon.
Need weapons for? You're on the moon.
In order to help you to survive on this hostile moon. It's hostile.
I mean, you're going to attack the no atmosphere?
You can drive a rover, which is a new vehicle, a complex craft. The rover is important. They say it will allow you to move much faster, carry a lot more resources, and escape your enemies. Apparently, they're enemies.
Maybe other players?
They have a list of things. They say you can discover a new ecosystem in huge plains, explore the moon to find rare items and resources, pay attention to your level of oxygen to stay alive, build your space base, craft lots of useful machines, drive the moon rover, make friends or enemies, and much more! Exclamation point. Ooh. Mm. So this is cool. I like total conversion mods.
I like mods in general, so it is cool that they've done this.
There was a... What was the mod for, like, Half-Life 2? It was, like, dystopian...
Counter-Strike.
Not that one. It was, like, dystopia or...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It was a cyber or a cyber...
I'd forgotten about that.
It was a Steam... Or not Steam, but a cyberspace sort of mod, cyber-infused. Very William Gibson-y.
It was really cool, too.
I liked it.
I'd forgotten all about it.
It was so good, we don't know anything about it.
Although, if you want a cool cyberpunk game, play Hard Reset. It's not expensive, either. It's not a mod or anything. I don't know. That just came up in my brain.
Moving on. Stephen Hawking and some Russian guy
who's
got a lot of money. They want to build an interstellar starship.
Okay. So, my question, and I'm going to sound like a jerk, but I'm not, is how do they know Stephen Hawking wants to build an international spaceship?
Well, you know, so Stephen Hawking, for those that have literally been living, like, under a really heavy rock, like a soundproof rock, like a rock
it's crazy.
It's not good for the...
You should probably get out of that rock.
It's not good for the, what's it called?
Environment?
It's the acoustics. It's not a very acoustically sound
rock. You couldn't think of the word acoustics.
I was thinking of, like, audiotronics. It's not good for the audiotronics. And I feel like that's, like, what someone from the retro future would call, headphones. Can I see a pair of your audiotronics, please?
I mean, that's like Audio Technicas, you know? That's a brand. Anyway.
Sound.
So Stephen Hawking... My question was, how would they know that he wants to build the spaceship?
Well, he still could communicate. He can't move his eye. He can't speak. He can't really even, he can barely move. But apparently he could still, his brain is just, the fastest computer with the slowest refresh rate.
Right, that's unfortunate.
Can't demonstrate.
I'm not making light of Stephen Hawking either, but I'm just going to say they probably could have just not even talked to him and assumed that Stephen Hawking wanted to make an interstellar spaceship.
Oh, yeah, he's always been on that.
I don't think you really needed him to move his eye.
I know,
and I love his work, by the way. I sound like a jerk.
If you haven't read History is a History of the Universe, I think History of the Universe,
a brief history of time.
Well, that was the movie, I thought. If it's
God, I'm starting to sound terrible.
If it's based on the book, I read the book. I can't remember what the name of the book. I thought it was a History of the Universe. But,
I think it's a Brief History of Time.
Anyway,
we both sound like jerks.
Really
right
good book. We're obviously not geeks. We're not super physics geeks. Anyway, he and Yuri Milner, who is a Russian billionaire, they unveiled earlier yesterday, so Tuesday, that they're going to spend $100 million to make
Brief History of Time.
Brief History of Time, okay. They're going to make a tiny little, it's a postage stamp-sized spaceship with cameras and sensor modules and everything, so it's like super nano-small. With technology for $100 million, and the way that they're going to power this thing and the way that they're going to propel this thing into Alpha Centauri, which is where it's going to search for aliens, they are going to literally point a giant array of satellite lasers into space to converge, like at a convergence point.
Like the Death Star.
Like the Death Star, yes. It'll be like a Death Star, but on Earth. And they're going to shoot lasers at this nano sail. So it's like this really thin, really light reflective material that will be connected to this nano
asteroid. Is just going to fly and go boop.
Well, it depends. Apparently, they said after a few minutes of concentrated laser light on this thing, it will be able to go 100 kilometers an hour or 100 miles an hour. Which
miles or kilometers? There's a difference.
It's miles. I think they corrected himself. I watched the live thing, so he said kilometers, but he says that miles per hour. So either he's wrong or he's right.
Which still, that's not that fast.
That's not that fast
at all.
But you're once you start it and once you hit it, it's light.
Right.
Because after a while, that's after a couple minutes. if, like, over some time, it's going 20% the speed of light, which is relatively fast.
That's starting to get fast.
He's already did relatively.
I get what you mean. You think you're cute.
Yeah, no, I
keep
do.
Keep going.
Anyway, so it looks like this tiny little square.
Oh,
it looks
it's
like
adorable.
The top of a little, like, tent or something.
Yeah, like a little space
like
tent.
Like you're going to an LSU football game or something.
In space.
And you're setting up your little...
Where the dinosaurs are.
Where the dinosaurs are. Good tie-in, Bear. Fantastic tie-in.
I try.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Keep going.
Anyway, so, yeah. It's going to go 1,000 times faster than the fastest spaceship that we have now.
Which is Deep Space
we don't
One,
have to,
right?
Well, we don't have to worry about people in this regard. That's a problem that we have to frequently worry about is the fleshy bags that live on
the
spaceship.
Yeah, they like to die.
Until we invent inertial dampeners that work, we'll suspend them in fluid. Nope, that didn't work. Maybe we should test that with, like, animals first.
Just speaking of space things, did you watch SpaceX's launch over the weekend?
Yeah, they successfully landed on the robo-barge.
Yes, it was great.
Something that kind of flies under the radar. Flies, get it? Bad jokes today. Something that doesn't really make a lot of headlines, they landed. For those that don't know, they've been trying. This is their fourth attempt, I think.
Fourth or fifth, yeah.
Fourth attempt at landing a rocket. The booster to a robotic drone barge in the ocean automatically.
Right.
So no fly-by-wire, no remote control helicopter business, none of that. It's automatically falling down.
Near space.
Falling with style. Near space, launches its payload and says, wait, I'm not done yet. And
it
flips out. It says
and rights itself and lowers onto the barge.
Right,
vertically.
We say lower like it's going slow. It's not going slow. It's going real fast.
Well, I mean, it's falling from nearly space.
Right. It's kind of slow when it starts to fall, and then it falls really fast, and it's got to say, "Well, put on the brakes," and also step out with your legs.
Yeah.
And then land on this thing that's also moving. By the way,
it's in the ocean.
The Earth is moving, and this is on water, and the water is not ice. So it's going with the ocean.
Forms of water.
Motion of the ocean's moving this, and it lands on that. So not only
it was amazing.
Not only does it land, it stays upright.
And what was the name of the barge? It was of course I Still Love You.
Yeah,
which is a reference to some sci-fi novel that I haven't read yet. But now I want to.
The great thing about the thing that doesn't get a lot of press is that as technically technological as the rocket is. The barge.
Oh yeah, it's a giant robot.
It's a giant robot, which I thought was really cool. So it's stabilized.
Love robots.
It is stabilizing itself. It's doing all this crazy stuff. Really, mm-hmm. really good.
So that was awesome.
That was really awesome. World of Warcraft is getting completely jump. World of Warcraft is getting new challenge modes in Legion. They're going to get Mythic Plus mode that will allow you to do different keystones with different levels, and you'll get better loot as a result. But yeah, kind of just to move that, just to transition into WoW talk. I don't know if we talked about it or if we just sort of waited to have it play out, but Nostralrius was a classic vanilla private
and
server.
And I just kind of found out about it, and one of my friends was showing it to me.
It
was amazing.
It used version 1.12, of WoW, which was before Burning Crusade. So it is as vanilla as you can get before the first expansion.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, I've been wanting this forever, and I was a little afraid I was going to be like, oh, it's just nostalgia, and I don't really want the past back.
Right.
But then we played it, and oh my God, it's a great game.
It's a really
good game. I like
it's
original
a really
WoW
game.
Vanilla way better than... What's the current thing?
Space...
Warlords of Draenor,
space,
right? Is that the last thing they did?
Space in the Cow Land, yeah.
Warlords of Draenor?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, Vanilla WoW, though, I remember... I had it day one.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And hard.
That was the only game I could play. I had a Mac laptop.
Right, I remember that.
I had a PowerBook, and I was in California. It was the only thing I could play, so...
I was just so excited.
I enjoyed it.
Because that was my movement from MUDs to MMOs with graphical interfaces.
Back in literally 11 years ago.
I went Age of Chaos to WoW.
Wow. Big change.
I was the happiest person on the planet. But now, Blizzard.
So Blizzard said you can't run the server anymore, so they shut it down this past Sunday.
You break my heart, you jerks.
The admins...
Other mean words I can't say.
Nostralius' admins and creators said they had 800,000 registered people and 150,000 actively, playing people.
So obviously, Blizzard, we want this.
The day, Sunday, whenever they were turning the server off, hours before the noted server power-off time... Like, thousands of people got on pretty much to say their goodbyes.
It was pretty
awesome.
Like,
it really was. Do their last big hurrah, their last big run. And my thing is, we've talked about it on the show before, I really enjoy the story, the lore of WoW. Yeah. And some of that lore you can't play through anymore.
It's gone.
Most specifically, like the big events that happen leading
Cataclysm?
Up to and immediately after. Well, not even Cataclysm, but this kind of falls in that. The big events that happen leading up to and immediately after an expansion drop are super, super important. Because those are true. The type of events that never happen again.
Right.
And that's sort of a misstep, I feel, in Blizzard's, you know.
I don't know
thing.
About that. Like, I get if you're involved in this living community, and it's a world event that only happens at a certain time. But still, my problem is they've changed the mechanics of how the way the game itself works so much since
yeah,
the beginning.
Yeah, no, I get that. Some of it for the better, some of it for worse.
I'm gonna say generally for the worse.
Some of it, I think what they did is they made it incredibly easy because it's not about running through the story. It's about getting to the end game content. It's about getting to the in world rage or whatever. And so I am not a competitive gamer at all.
I am not either.
I like the story. I want the story. And whenever I read a book, I get to reread the favorite parts over and over and over again.
Yeah,
and just because I am, or even watch Battlestar Galactica is a fantastic thing.
Oh my gosh,
thing.
That's a great example.
It's not the whole point is not to get to the end of Battlestar Galactica. The whole point is to just watch
that's your
it.
Goal. You're gonna hate yourself,
right? So it's not that it's a bad end, just that
no, it's
you
a
know,
great
when
end.
It's over. It's over.
You got a lot of content to get through. Enjoy the ride.
My thing is that there were some fantastic experiences with Classic WoW and with Intermediate WoW.
That's some
and,
great
Intermediate WoW being any expansion before the current one.
Yeah.
And it's not maybe it is.
Burning Crusade, I think, was like the best expansion in my opinion.
I agree, and Legion looks to be the next Burning Crusade, but everyone kind of hopes that. I don't know that it'll actually be. I don't know if it'll be enough to draw me back.
I don't
to
know anyone. Yeah, but I don't know anyone currently still playing. Like all my old friends have dropped out.
Yeah,
sure. Cap is still on it.
Yeah, he still plays. I think he does private servers, and you know that's the thing. They're cracking down on private servers. I think Nostralis's problem was it was really big. It was really popular.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
Blizzard.
And I would like it noted they were not making money off of this.
No,
this was clearly because they loved
it was for fans.
The original WoW.
It was for the fans, and issue. The issue with that is Blizzard looks at this and says, for every user that they have, that's one user they're taking away from our – that's $15 a month they're not giving us.
I disagree because these are users that don't want to play what you're offering currently anyway.
I'm not saying that's the truth of it. I'm saying
that's
what Blizzard
what
is perceiving it as. I disagree as well. I think that you know people want Classic WoW. The way to get Classic WoW is not to pay Blizzard to play current WoW.
Right. I mean, honestly, if Blizzard would even offer the service to play Classic WoW, like a legacy server,
yep.
I would do that.
I think I would do that, too.
I'd pay full price for it.
I would love to be able to take a character, start it in vanilla WoW, go through, like, have a yearly patch cycle. Every patch Tuesday pretty much mirrors the same patch cycle or whatever patch cycle. And at the end of the year, the server resets back to its original state. Not necessarily that you lose your character, but you could lose your character. It's just you're not doing it to play in the current game. So I've had a character since vanilla WoW. It's still
all my stuff is gone.
It's still in the background. But you know, I feel like that's a misstep in the regard. We're out of time. We are going to end the show actually right now because we're so super out of time. So we have a website. Check it out. What is the website, Bear?
Exppoints.com. Remember, double tap the P.
You can check out all of our previous audio. I promise as soon as I am done uploading and adding
promises,
the web pages
promises,
for
promises.
All the backlog episodes, you'll be able to check all those out. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. Remember to check out that. Like us and subscribe to us on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all that good stuff. We're going to leave you with Zero Day by MC Frontalot, First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. And if we have time, We Had a Good Run by Kirby Crackle. We'll see you next Wednesday. Remember, Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m., always exclusively on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.